Blog Talk Radio.
Are you due for a relationship makeover? If you had the power to wave a magic wand, would you use it to improve your relationship? Well, there may be some hope. You're about to embark upon a journey. A journey that may prove to be vital in improving your relationship, whether it be with your spouse, significant other, children, co-worker, family, friends, or even yourself. A journey that if you simply open your mind to desiring a positive change in your relationship by listening to this show, it just might happen. You're about to take a journey into the Dr. Jesse Walker Show. Warning, the show can be contagious.
Hello, and welcome to this edition of the Dr. Jesse Walker Show. I'm your host. I'm Dr. Jesse Walker. I'm going to be with you for the next 60 minutes. Well, perhaps 90 minutes tonight, because the show has been extended because of the topic tonight. Tonight's topic is, why do some marriages last 25-plus years and others don't? But we're going to find out tonight. As we get the perspective of a married couple, Mr. and Mrs. James Johnson. They are our featured guests for this evening, and they're going to be joining us momentarily. But first, let me do a little housekeeping. Let me go ahead and welcome Ms. Camilla Cross, my co-host for the evening. Ms. Cross, welcome to tonight's broadcast. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you. Thank you. Good evening, everyone. I hope everyone had an amazing day today.
Yes, absolutely. Ms. Cross, why don't you go ahead and do your commercial and let our audience know what it is you do and how you do it and how they can get in touch with you.
Thank you. So good evening, everyone. Yes, I am Camilla Cross, your licensed clinical social worker. I am also the founder and CEO of Your Worth LLC, which I do offer anger management and conflict resolution services. If you're interested, you know, some people are unfortunately maybe court-ordered or employee-ordered, or if you just want some assistance with conflict resolution, you can definitely text me, call me. I'm at 954-825-8500.
All right, excellent. And I want to also invite you all to catch my book, a copy of my book at drjessewalker.com. It's called After the Passion, and now we're also introducing our weekly mini-story series. All the stories that are read over the air are inspired by true stories. Of course, the names are all changed to protect the innocent. You will really enjoy these stories. They're short, very short, and they're like $2.49 a week, basically $10 a month, and with a minimum of 3 months subscription, you can get to enjoy stories that inspire by true stories that are thought-provoking, to get you to really get out here and think about things, especially when it comes to relationships. So for more information, you can certainly contact us at drjessewalker.com. All right, I want to go ahead and introduce our featured guest for the evening, Mr. and Mrs. Johnson. They're going to be with us tonight, and they're going to hopefully give us some information that's educational and informative as to why some marriages last for 25 years plus, and others simply do not. And I know that that's kind of difficult for a lot of people to stay married. And we're even hearing, and we did a show on this here, that there's domestic violence is on the increase during the pandemic. But before we get started, some housekeeping, further housekeeping that I need to mention. We have in place now what's called the 30-second elevator speech timer. It's a timer. It's designed because we have a number of our callers, and I'm certainly happy that you all are calling in. But sometimes they go a little lengthy, and we're asking them to confine their comments to 20 seconds or less. And what happens now is this timer, unfortunately, it will cut you off after you've exceeded 25 to 30 seconds. And it's designed to give other people an opportunity to come in and so we can get back to you all. So We know that a lot of you are trying to get in and you have a lot to say, and we welcome that. We certainly do. And, of course, I give this disclaimer that the opinions that are expressed on this show are those of my own opinion, my co-host, our featured guests, and our callers. And this is not to be construed as professional advice. It's merely opinions, and we respect everyone's opinions, even if we differ on them. If you're seeking for the professional help in legal matters or psychological matters, then we encourage you to seek the professional in that particular area. Our broadcast for educational and information purposes only and should be perceived as such. Now, having said that, we got a long show tonight, and that goes by very fast, and I'm going to start the timer so that it doesn't time me out. Now, I know that my co-host, Miss Cross, the time is already adapted to allow her, you know, extra time because she also closes out the show many times. And it also allows for the featured guest. And sometimes it will even cut me off. So if you hear a silence, that means it's automatically muted you and we're going on to the next person. All right, Mr. and Mrs. James, welcome to tonight's broadcast. You're live on the Dr. Jesse Walker Show, and we welcome you.
How you doing, Dr. Walker?
Hello, how are you?
We're doing just great. We certainly hope that Ms. Cross, we got Mr. and Mrs. James, our featured guests this evening. Go ahead and give them your welcome, please.
Welcome, welcome, guys. Thank you so much for coming on to provide us with your blessed marriage and just the secrets of being married for so long.
All right. Excellent.
Thank you.
You know, just before we get started, I don't want to read the story yet. For tonight's broadcast, because you will definitely want to hear tonight's story. But Mr. and Mrs. James, I want you to go ahead and give our listening audience around the world an opportunity to introduce yourselves and tell us who you are and about your own marriage if you want to, and then so we can get started in tonight's broadcast.
Okay, I'm James.
Hi, I'm Margo.
And we got married beginning of the year. Coming from, she was in Chicago, I was in Florida, and we met at her church up there, and we started to date, and we dated for over a year, long distance, and we decided we didn't want to be apart anymore, and she has a type of job where she works from home, so wanted to move anyway, because Chicago is very cold, and there's a lot going on up there. So we made the transition, brought her down here, and it's been nice. So I'm going to go on the limb and say I'm not I'm a husband, but I got flaws, and she'll tell you that. And we are working through our marriage, and sometimes when you work through your marriage, you don't have to be like 100% to come on and talk about things that you see in your own marriage to try to help other people maybe going through the same, you know, thing. So did you want to say something?
No, I agree that it's a learning process. It's becoming aware, especially after you get married and you haven't, you know, lived with the opposite sex. So that's a learning process in itself. And then, still building on what relationship that we had. So it's definitely a work in process.
All right. Well, let me, James, we're going to ask you to stand by just for a second. Ms. Margo, let me ask you this question. You left the Windy City to come down here to our hot box in Florida, and welcome to Florida. How are you enjoying our heat down here? It's hot. Hot as H-E-double-L, as some people would say.
Well, you know, you get adjusted to the extreme temperatures, because I was in cold Chicago for 30 plus years, and so people would think that, oh, you're adjusted to the cold. I'm like, no, I just didn't go out. I didn't go out of I didn't go out. I was smart enough not to go out in extreme temperature. So it's the same here. I mean, I guess y'all learn to adapt. and extreme temperatures, but it's beautiful when it bypasses us and it gets to be fall, winter time. I love it. So I love the scenery. I love the palm trees. I love a lot of what Florida has to offer. So.
Okay, especially our beaches, right? Go ahead and say it on the air. You love our beaches, right?
I love your beaches. You have multiple, so I'm looking forward to seeing more of them.
Awesome, awesome. Thank you. We're so glad that you're here, and welcome to sunny South Florida. You'll find that many of us in select areas, some of us keep a smile on our face because we don't have to frown and shiver in coldness. So welcome.
Yes. Thank you.
Let me begin by just asking you all this quick question before I go to my story tonight. And I understand, Mr. James, you all have a monologue. Would you like me to go into the story first, or do you want to present your monologue?
Let me, present the monologue. So
okay.
I want to keep the parameters so we don't get off track on other things that this topic could go into.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. The floor is yours, as they would say. And the mission.
Okay. This was sparked by the Will Smith and Jada Red Table. And it first hit me because a lot of people kept saying, on his part, I couldn't have let my wife, have a relationship with somebody and blah, blah, blah. And then he admitted, he's done some things too. And they should have left each other a long time ago. And that whole, genre. But the more I thought about it, I'm like, people missed the golden nugget of that, where they said bad marriage for life. And they're committed to the relationship, not necessarily to each other. And my concept is, should we focus on more the relationship as opposed to the individual? Because in a godly marriage, Christ is married to the church, and he won't forsake the church no matter what we have done and fallen short. The Bible says we've all fallen short of the glory of God. He won't, divorce us. And this is basically for people who are contemplating tying the knot and people who are already, in a marriage, to sort of, so they won't jump ship so soon. Because I think when you take the vows, if you listen to the vows, they are focused on the relationship. It's better or for worse. Doesn't say each party, it's sickness, and in health. And what Will and Jay were trying to say was, you have to stay focused on the relationship, because when you are in a marriage long term, that person's going to let you down. That person's not going to do the right things all the time. That person's not going to say the right things all the time. There might be some white lies, maybe some, might be a whole lot going on trying to stay married for a long time. And you have to stay focused on the foundation of the marriage rather than the individual. And this is just a concept. We're not judging anybody on the past and what they've done, because I've been married before, things like that. So we're not saying anybody, any decisions they've made are right or wrong. We're just focusing on the concept. And we all know everything it takes to keep a marriage. We got to go to counseling. Sometimes there's separation. There's a lot of things that you go to a counselor, they'll tell you exercises to keep. But right now we want to focus on, if you going to say I do, should your mindset be, I'm going to keep the marriage. I'm going to keep the foundation. I'm going to do everything I can to keep this marriage together, not necessarily to the individual, because we know we are flawed and we're going to let each other down. I know my parents did not do 50 plus years because they always liked each other. They didn't do 50 plus years because they were always, lovey-dovey. there were some trying times. You got five kids. When we have foster kids, there were some trying times, but they were focused on staying in, like, the marriage. My wife and I are going through things now, but she's not ready to walk out the door. I'm not ready to walk out the door because that's too easy. That's not what God said. We have to, like, forgive each other. We have to be understanding. And always when I was talking to Dr. Walker last week, I came up with, like, the hurricane. We here in South Florida have hurricanes every year. But people buy those houses on the beach, and when the hurricane comes, they don't walk away. They go, you know, even if a hurricane tears this house down, I got the foundation. I'm going to build again. There are some times where people don't want to evacuate when they're supposed to. No, I built this house, and this is my property, and I'm going to stay here, and I'm going to, like, protect it. And I think just the concept of that, if we take that concept into when we say I do, just sparking the conversation, will that in turn help your marriage last longer? And when things happen, when the sickness happens and the finances, like, get tried and the kids try you, and maybe there's a third party that may somehow sneak in, should we work through, no matter how hard it is, like Will and Jada said, no matter how hard it is, because he was done with her, she was done with him, but just stay focused on the marriage. Now, the Bible says if someone cheats on you, you have the right, like, to leave, and nobody's judging if you do leave. But it's just a concept that we're sparking tonight is, should you be more focused on keeping that relationship as opposed to jumping ship because that individual has done something?
Okay, well, excellent, excellent. And we're certainly happy that you all are here. And again, I remind my audience that we have that timer set this evening, and we're also on Facebook Live for those of you all that are just joining us. Mr. James, Ms. James, we certainly do appreciate you all being here. We're going to go right to the story tonight, and that will tie in with what Mr. James just presented with us in his monologue. Tonight's characters are Rose and Sam. Of course, these stories are inspired by true stories. The names are always changed to protect the innocent. So keep that in mind. If this story just so happens, seems to be similar to anyone's out there who's listening, it's just coincidental. Trust me, it's not your story. There's 20 million people going through the same things that you're going through or more. This is a reflection, as Mr. James said, on, like, Will and Jada's situation. Very similar. Rose and Sam have been in a superficial marriage, in this case, for over 27 years. Now, they have four adult children who live outside of their home. They're grown, so they have their own places. Now, Sam and Rose met at church over 32 years ago and dated for several years, including their teenage years, before getting married. Rose was the pastor's daughter, and Sam was the son of the head deacon in the church. Now, they're each others' first love, which ultimately caused their respective families to promote marriage throughout their upbringing. Now, the chemistry, the interesting thing is, the chemistry and the compatibility were never there with their relationship. So they didn't really have chemistry or compatibility. After only 2 years in the marriage, Rose assumed, she assumed, and that's the key word here, he assumed that Sam was having an affair because he had befriended a woman whom he worked closely with. Sam assured Rose that they were only co-workers, but nothing out of the ordinary was going on. Now, Rose suspected an affair because Sam spent a great deal of his conversation talking about his friendship with his co-worker, the other woman. Now, her own suspicions drew her into an affair with a local grocer in their neighborhood. So she, in fact, started an affair. Her persistent accusations about Sam having an affair with this woman ultimately drove him into the woman's arms of love, as she had always, this woman had always admired Sam, but respected the fact that he was married, his wife, Rosa. Now you have both couples having the first of several affairs for over 23 years of their 27-plus years of marriage. But for some reason, they always managed to stay together and attend church regularly as a happy couple for appearance sake. Now, over the years, their marriage has gotten stronger despite clear and convincing evidence of the presence of love, because they have admitted to having affairs but have elected to stay in the marriage for the sake of convenience. What a horrible situation, to stay in a marriage for convenience. Now that they are older, they tend to gravitate more towards each other in anticipation of experiencing agape, or unconditional love. Their children are all aware of the multiple affairs, but admire their parents for weathering the storms of life and never divorcing, and now promising to remain true to each other. Now that they are trying to be a happy couple, Sam has recently revealed, now you want to get this, Sam has recently revealed to Rose that he has a 13-year-old son out there that she nor their children knew about. Since the day of reckoning is upon them to lay their cards on the table, Rose reluctantly revealed to Sam that their second child may not be his. Now, after over 27 years of marriage, this new information sheds deep pain on both Rose and Sam to process in managing their frustrations and anger that could lead to divorce. All right, now, the question that I start out with, and Ms. Cross, I got to bring you in and ask you this question quickly as we move on. I'm setting the timer. Should Rose and Sam have ever gotten married in the first place? Ms. Cross, what are your thoughts on that? I mean, it's some deep stuff.
Yeah, I'm here shaking my head. You know, I'm not going to say that they should not have gotten married, even though I know you said that. It was a little bit of a contradiction because I think they were each other's first love, but they had limited compatibility. So, you know, those things are red flags. They probably were young. And when you're young and you're in love, you think that, you know, that the world just looks a little different. So should they have not gotten married? I'm not going to say no because, you know, I know that some arranged marriages become beautiful in the end. So I'm not saying that. But I'm just thinking when you start inviting other people into your situation, it's not going to say a situation, into your marriage, just call it for what it is, you are going to open the door to disaster. And this story is a perfect example of this. Like, now you are not just messing, you know, they're not just, you know, messing with each other, blessings and whatever is going on with each other, but now you have children involved and you have, you know, I don't know how old the second child is, but now the second child is going to want to find out who's my father. It just sounds like really Jerry Springer-ish.
Right. Okay, so we've got a number of callers that want to get in. Also, Ms. Margo, let me bring you in here. This is some messy stuff going on, and we're talking tonight's topic is why do some marriages last 25 years plus and others don't? I mean, here, this couple had an affair here, and they both recognize it, and they're staying together, obviously, for convenience sake, but now this new revelation of material is kind of like, what do you say to that?
Well, I have a post that a message that I found, and I want to read it because it's definitely, again, work in progress. It says, and I'm going to read it, marriage isn't about a beautiful wedding, a fancy home, cute kids, nice cars, and white picket fences, as we know. Marriage is hospital stays, working long hours, working through struggles, setting up life insurance, paying bills, keeping the faith, staying strong, and staying together through it all. You know, so it's definitely a choice it's a covenant. It's a covenant. It's an agreement. And I know even though someone feels like it was a broken as far as loyalty, the affair or whatever happened, they still wish to fight and work through it all. That has to be hard. But
it's not for the weak.
It's not for
I
the
said
weak.
Only the strong survive.
but
it takes
yeah, Miss Margaret, I mean, did you finish your reading? I'm sorry.
I finished it. I'm sorry. So the end was staying together through it all.
but this these stuff, Mrs. James, let's bring you in because tonight we're talking about why some couples last, marriages last 25 years plus and others don't. And here mm-hmm. now, they're putting their cards on the table. And now he's got a 13-year-old son out there. For the first time, he's revealing this to his wife. And then she's saying, you know, by the way, our second child may not be yours. Mr. James, you're a man. And Ms. Margot, I'm going to ask you a question as well. I mean, how do you accept that with all the affairs going on? I mean, you said because you talked about staying committed to the relationship, And Ms. Margo is saying, you know, through it all, only the strong survive. So help us understand this.
Well, this is how you understand it, is everybody can't do that psychologically, mentally. They're not going to be able to handle that. Some people are going to walk away. They're going to feel this is too much for them. And that's their right. That is their right. In this story, these two people decided, like the hurricane, no matter what the winds are, no matter what batters that house, they are not leaving. And it's a personal choice that two people have to make. No two circumstances are the same. It's just a choice. My parents made a choice. Other parents that have been married for 50, 60 years or, you know, other couples, they make a choice. And it's just about people have to make that choice. It's, are you going to be keep the marriage going because you know people are going to let you down and do things? And it's just a matter of those two people making a conscious choice amongst themselves that nothing is going to break that bond.
And I have an example as well. My grandmother, rest her soul, she must have separated from her husband and ended up having two children as well in the midst of the separation. And they obviously rekindled or reconciled and stayed together. And that was years and years ago. And later on, you know, my grandmother was going to keep that to the grave. It slipped out from a family friend. It was a really terrible situation horrific situation for my brothers. I mean, their brothers and sisters to have to find out that two of the brothers and sisters were from another father. But they stuck it out. They rekindled and stayed married. So
choice.
What I do, I don't know. I couldn't say if I would or not. But I mean, that is strength. It's definitely strength. And that's really all I have to say about that.
All right,
I'm
before
not
you
judging
go,
what they say now, but.
Mr. James, I got to ask you, and then we're going to go to our phone lines in just a second. We appreciate all of you all patience. Just your quick answer on this here. I mean, with this new revelation here, and I know you're emphasizing tonight, staying married to the relationship, staying committed to the relationship. I mean, gosh, now you're going to raise a kid for all these years thinking that this is yours. I mean,
yeah.
They get married. I mean, should they divorce if he can't handle that? Even though his pot isn't clean either. What would you tell him if you had to counsel this couple?
Wow. If I had to counsel them, I would tell them they would have to
pray.
They would have to dig deep in the heart and see if this was something they can forgive the other person for, because if you cannot put that behind you and go on, it's going to tear at the marriage the whole time, and there's no point in that. It has to be something where both of you can look at it, pray on it, and get counseling about it, and make a choice. We're going to move on from here. You done stuff, I done stuff. But that's what I would tell them. You have to look in yourself, take 30 days, and come back to me, and you both do soul
counseling,
searching to see if that's something you both can come back from. Because if you're not going to forgive, if you're always going to throw it in the other person's face, there's no point in that.
Okay, Ms. Margo, I got to ask you this question, then we're going to go to the phone lines. All right, now you, in your back of your mind, you know, if this were you all situation, let's just say hypothetically, in the back of your mind, what's going on in your mind? He just revealed to you he's got a 13-year-old kid out there. What's going in your mind now?
Oh, gosh. What's going on is that, you know, they have to put...
No. You.
Oh, me?
Yes.
What?
Yes.
On in your mind that he's revealed this to you now. I mean, it's like, great day. 10 years later, now he tells me this.
10 years later.
I told you I had a 13-year-old son.
Yeah, 13 years later, he just revealed to you he's got a 13-year-old son out there, and you all have been married 27-plus years.
Well, I definitely wouldn't put it off. You know, we would definitely have to. I mean, it wouldn't be a quick decision. I mean, I wouldn't make a quick decision on this. I mean, we have to communicate. We have to talk. I know I will feel betrayed. I will feel hurt. I mean, definitely, you know, and trust, you know, it has to, if it cannot be regained, or it hasn't been regained, or it can't be regained after all these years, it will be a long, drawn out, dealing. We will have to have a long, drawn out thing, you know, if it takes months or so to talk about it, to communicate about it. And if I cannot deal with the issue of trust issues, then it will have to be, I have to be at peace. I would basically, my end all is to be at peace and to make sure I make the right decision as far as God, you know, when it comes to God and to please him.
So, right, but what about the commitment to the relationship? And what about the commitment to the relationship that you all are telling us tonight? You know, I mean, and if he wants to romance you that same night to make kind of smooth things over, you open to that?
That doesn't work with me.
I didn't hear you, Ms. Margo. What did you say?
That doesn't work. That doesn't help the problem, obviously. But, it would not be a quick fix. Definitely not.
But that's staying committed to relationship. You don't make a quick decision, I'm out, I'm leaving.
Exactly.
So, Mr. James, let me ask you. Now she has just revealed to you that the second child, let's say he's happens to be 20 years old. You bonded to this kid. You fed him and everything. Mm-hmm. You know, that's your son. Now she just revealed this, that the second son may not be yours. Now, what goes through your mind, Mr. James, in a nutshell?
The first thing is this. I wouldn't take it out on the child. I wouldn't take any my love away from the child. It's not
right.
Therefore, I would not do that. I would still be that father, the only father I know. And as far as her... it's not a quick decision. It's going to be like betrayal. It's going to be a lot, but we would have to talk, because especially if I've known I've done stuff, then I can't be so hard on her if she tells me something like that. It's not pretty. It's going to be ugly. It's going to be a lot of conversations. It's going to take a lot of time. But my thing is, don't just walk out the door.
Make sure you do all that it takes, you know, to possibly keep it together, and just so you'll know you did what you can, you did what you could, and if the trust is no longer there, then you can't have it, a relationship without trust.
Okay. All right. We're going to ask you all. Well, somebody didn't trust each other. I mean, but anyway, we're going to ask you all to stand by just a second. We got to go to the phone lines. We thank all of you all for your patience. Miss Cross, let me bring you in first. Then we're going to go to, looks like New York here. Miss Cross, I mean, that's kind of deep. And they said it, that our featured guest said it tonight. It's not easy. Only the strong survive. I don't know if I could survive that. Miss Cross, now let's just say that we brought this news to each other. Could you handle that, Miss Cross?
You know what? I think with life, sometimes you don't realize how you would fully deal with the situation until you're in it, you know, because in this, and let's just say, for example, with this particular story, they have made a commitment, it sounds like, to the marriage, you know, and still had a level of respect for each other, even though they were living their separate lives, it sounds like. But I think that where it becomes a little bit more real is because there's children involved, and there's children, you know, he might, like, I think, like Margo was saying, there may be a sense, a feeling of betrayal. If it wasn't Margo, I'm sorry, it may have been James. A feeling of betrayal because you're raising this child for umpteen years not knowing. You know, I think sometimes people get into situations, I think what Miss Margo was saying in regards to her grandparents, like, I think her husband knew, okay, these two children she had out when we were separated, and I'm going to raise them as my own. So he made that choice. But when you take away the choice from someone, and it does feel like betrayal, even if it's not intentional, you know, this person for 20-odd years believed that this guy was his son or his daughter. And I know that that's hurtful. I'm almost, you know, they can get over it, most definitely. But it's going to take
a lot of arguments go on, and both couples are going to defend what they did. Well, hey, you out there, you got a 13-year-old idea. Yeah, but look how long, 7 years, you out there 7 years more doing something, and then now you're telling me that my second child may not be mine. So hold on just a second. We got to go to New York. We're going to go to New York. We're going to go to 347-740. Welcome to the Dr. Jess Walk Show. You're live. Who do we have with us?
This is Monica. Thank you, Dr. Walker, for taking my call.
Thank you, Monica. Just help us out here. I mean, if you got a question for our featured guests as well, by all means ask them, because they're saying stay committed to the relationship, you know, and emphasis is placed on that. But, you know, it's hard when somebody, wow, now you're just figuring this child is not even yours that you fed. And then my stuff ain't clean because I've been out there and I got this 13-year-old. Help us out. What do you think, Monica?
I'm scratching my head and I'm like saying, Lord, have mercy. This is another difficult situation. Like the caller just said, when you're not in this situation, I know definitely it's true that God does not give you more than what you can bear. I don't believe that's one of the situations God would allow to be my test. But it's very, last week we spoke about the covenant, the difference between covenant. Is covenant and agreement the same? Well, I was listening to the story. And,
covenant and commitment, right? Go ahead.
And commitment. They don't even, from the beginning, it is impossible. I mean, marriage is a covenant, and if God is not involved, it's impossible. It is impossible for it to work. Well, I'm a songwriter. I'm a singer, a songwriter, and I know I had some problems in my marriage, and I wrote about, you know, prayer is a key in the hand of faith to open heaven's storehouse, where our treasures, the boundless resources of omnipotence. Only God can, you know, it's easy to say.
Let the timer cut you off, Miss Monica. Go ahead.
That's okay. I mean, for me, that would be a difficult one. And I mean, I would just have to ask God to help me to deal with that one. That's quite difficult.
I certainly understand that. And we're going to ask you to stand by. We're going to ask all of you all to stand by. Please be patient with us tonight. We're going to go to the phone lines once again. Let's go here to Alabama, 205-908. Welcome to the Dr. Jesse Walker Show. Who do we have on the air?
This is Jack.
Jack, welcome back, Jack. Jack, what are you thinking about all of this? This is some deep stuff. But staying committed to the relationship, you know, through all odds, only the strong side.
when you say committed to the relationship, I assume you're saying stay committed to the marriage. But
Mr. James, is that what you're saying? Stay committed to the marriage?
Yes. I'm saying is that you can love the other person, and that's what you're supposed to do, but you don't let the first sign of anything happening, that person lying to you or not treating you the way you think, because everybody goes through these, you know, swells like in a marriage, but you just can't walk out the door. You got to stay like committed to the, like your vows and sickness and health, better or for worse. And worse is what we all have to determine individually what worse is for us. So, but that's why those vows are there. You can't, you're supposed to just walk out the door when the hurricane comes and batters the house. You have to stay.
But everybody's not able to deal with a situation like this. Some people will say, well, I can't handle this, so I'm just going to leave. It's going to drive me crazy just thinking about it and all. But if that's how you feel, then you do what you have to do. But I started thinking as you were talking, I started thinking about in the Bible, because there's many relationships. God never sanctioned, you know, more than one marriage. But so many of them had more than one wife. Look at Solomon. He had 700 wives and 300 girlfriends, and then the Lord still forgave him, you know, for all what he did and all. So even though the young man went out and he impregnated another lady and the child is 13 years old, the problem that I'm having with him, he waited so long to tell his wife, you know, 13 years later, then now you're revealing it to them and all. And then she should have revealed to him that, you know, the second child might not have been theirs either. You know, they both should have come clean a long time ago. They waited for a long time. But if they can handle it, because God is always a forgiving God, he forgives us. And we've all sinned and messed up so many times. So if they can handle it and they need to talk about it, lay all the cards on the table and not a quick fix that night like you mentioned earlier, but talk about it, study over it a bit, pray about it and all, and let the Lord direct them and lead them and all. And I'm sure he's not going to tell them they're going to split up. But later on down the line, they can forgive each other, and then they can move forward. And don't even bring it up anymore. Don't even bring the situation up anymore. Just live with it and move on. And try to make a better relationship. It might be a better relationship after that, because they both know what they did. They both know they messed up. That's right. Yeah.
So, Jack, I got to ask you this question, Jack, before you go. Then we're going to go to Tallahassee in a moment. And, Jack, the question is, in that man's mind, do you think it's possible now when he looks at his second child, in his mind he's thinking, doggone it, you know, wouldn't that just mess his mind up?
No, I'm going to say no, because I'm sure he had so much love for that child long ago. So that's not going to lessen the love now that he finds out that he may not be here. That might make him even love him more. He may not even go get a, what's those tests you take? Those tests you
DNA.
Take to find out whether that's your child? Yeah, he may not even go and get the DNA to find out whether that's his child or not, because he can always do that. But he probably won't even do that, because he probably just doesn't want to know because of the love that he has for that child. Now, that's
right. Now, Ms. Margo, let me bring Ms. Margo in. I got to ask you this question. And the question is, why wouldn't, in your opinion, why didn't Rose reveal this to him, you know, or until now? And then secondly, doesn't the child have a right to know that this is not his biological father? Or do you take that to the grave?
Man. Went away. It depends on when the biological father.
Yeah. Well, maybe the
biological father was.
You know.
Now we're talking about honesty here. So don't the child have a right
to protect the marriage? She wanted to protect
the right to know who his biological father is. And also, doesn't it say in the Bible that the truth shall set you free? Mm-hmm. So now, do we continue to be deceptive? Ms. Margo, help us out here.
No, definitely, of course, we would let the child, we would have to talk to the child and let them know at age appropriate, you know, making sure that they can emotionally handle it. So it's a place and it's a time for the discussion. It has to be a time, and it's not going to be easy. Maybe there has to be a mediator. pastor or someone that can be there to console. But yeah, it's going to be hard on the child and not knowing that, I mean, that's not his father.
Wow.
The wife, I don't know why she would have, like you said, probably to protect the marriage, regret. You know, it could be multiple things that went in her head, don't want to. I mean, like you said, the relationship, and kind of what my husband was saying, he meant more, not meant, but he's saying, like, you think of it as a pot, like your marriage is a pot, and you're putting, you're adding, you're building things into that pot. You're putting in love, you're putting in business, you're putting in all the things that you've developed together. All of that pot is a relationship, and all that you've built on, you know, adds up, you know, and sometimes it does get hard to leave everything that you build on, you know. So it's gonna be a rough road, a little bit for that relationship.
All right, we're gonna have to stand by. Go ahead, give us your thoughts.
No, I was just saying you would definitely need a person that's objective, you know, like a pastor, a counselor, someone there to provide that therapy that everybody was going to need and be objective.
All right. We're going to ask you to stand by. The both of you all of our calls, we're going to ask you to be patient. Those of you all who have sent in comments, we're going to ask you to be patient. We're going to try to get to as many as we possibly can. The timer is in effect. Let's go to Tallahassee, 850-212. Who do we have on the air and welcome?
It's Terry.
Terry, thank you for joining us. Terry, what are your thoughts on tonight's topic?
Well, from what I was listening to, I just feel as though a lot of times when people are in these situations, a lot of times it's just fear. It's hard to say. I mean, it depends on the situation and how it occurred, because a lot of times when women go through things, I mean, do things outside. I mean, first of all, let's put men on the spot. And they do things out there, then they don't think about it. The actions as to how that woman's gonna feel. But then when the woman turn around, especially if she finds out something and then she can't take it and she do the same thing, get back at him. You can never solve a problem like that. But most times it happens. Men can't handle what women. Men can't handle what women dish out. I mean, what they dish out. But in most cases, when the man find out, it's really hard on him because he can't deal with it. But when a woman, I don't want to get started here because
Terry, we're gonna bypass the timer real quick. Go ahead. What you gonna say?
Hold on.
Okay.
Woman's corn.
Hello?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay. We're going to ask you to stand by, Terry, just for a second. Let's take another caller while Terry's composing himself. Let's go to, looks like it could be West Palm Beach, 561-676. Who do we have on the air and welcome? 561-676. Check your phones, please. All right. Ms. Ross, let's bring you back in. I'm sorry, who's this?
Antoinette Arrington.
Okay, Antoinette.
561-676.
Hi, thank you for joining us.
Hi.
We've got a deep show here tonight. We got our featured guest, Mr. and Mrs. James, and I mean, our story tonight, and I mean, it almost brings just tears to my heart how the revelation of something when you've been married for so long, and our featured guest is even there. We're sharing the story about being committed to the relationship, being commitment to the relationship. Break it down for us, in your opinion, what commitment involves, and how can you really commit to a relationship when there's been deceit?
Well, you know, I've heard many people say it on the line that it really is dependent upon the individual's maturity, a relationship with God, their understanding, I think, even comes into play, their background, their experiences. I would say that in general, I have seen and experienced many different scenarios, and I've seen relationships go through even more horrific examples in the story and have come out better in the end, because relationships, and I've done a survey once with couples that were married more than 50 years, and I asked them, what is it that kept you together and what makes the relationship so beautiful? And they said most people never stay in a relationship long enough for it to get sweet. So all relationships go through these bumps. So, you know, I said, you know, I really can relate to that, because I think what happens is we have an ideal of marriage, and it's formed by, you know, what we're exposed to, our culture, our you know, what we read, what we take in. But if we think about God's, you know, definition of marriage, because that's what I always like to relate marriage to. I don't even think many people today don't even want to get married if they don't have some kind of relationship with God. They're just into open relationships or just living together and being committed without the marriage. And we've discussed that too. But God, he's the one that created marriage, and it exemplifies his relationship with us. So I know for me, what I've learned through reading the scriptures is that it's a decision. It's not an emotion. So if you are committed to the relationship, to the commitment, to the covenant, and you know going into it that there's no out, I have seen people get through every type of scenario. And it's a matter of your commitment level. Are you committed to the marriage and your vows for better or for worse until death do us part? So some people take that very seriously, and some people feel, you know, if you break that covenant, well, then that's my way out. But then that's not really a covenant, you know, because even God allowed for divorce because of the hardening of the heart. But really, it says that we should try to reconcile if at all possible. In 1 Corinthians 7, it makes all the outlines there.
All right, the timer cut her off. I'm so sorry. Automatic. Ms. Anthony, we're going to try to bring you back in. The timer did shut you off, and we're going to try to bring you back in. Let me go to Ms. Cross. Ms. Cross, she said something. Ms. Cross, can you hear me okay?
Yes, I can.
Okay. Antoinette just said something that was interesting. She said it's not necessarily an emotion. It's a commitment to the relationship. I mean, how can you have a commitment to a relationship if there's no emotion, no feeling for that person? And then, Mr. I ask you that same question, and then we're going to try to get back to some of our other callers. What do you say to that, Ms. Cross?
Well, you know, because the thing is this. In reality, everybody's perception or even people's reasoning for getting married, there's different reasons. Everybody doesn't get married for love. You know, as harsh as that sounds, as much as we don't want to believe that, it's true. You know, some people get married for finances, for stability. You know, there's different reasons why people get married, for prestige, you know. So the whole thing is, when we look at, it's unfortunate, but it is what it is. When we look at marriage and we look at emotions, they don't necessarily have to go hand in hand. You can make a commitment without having emotions behind it. And I think that, you know, what the caller was saying is, as much as we might not, this might not be a part of our lives, there are people who are in marriages who they don't have, the feelings aren't, it's not like I saw this person and I fell in love. That's not the reality of their marriage. And, you know, I'm realizing that as time goes on, like, you know, it's not, if we look at it from a biblical standpoint, of course, we're going to all have an opinion, but some people who are married for 50 years, it's not because they were in love and they even value God's laws. They just got comfortable.
They got comfortable. We're going to ask you to stand by, Ms. Cross. Mr. James, I got to bring you in. We're going to get to the phone line. We're going to go back to Alabama in a moment. Then we're going to go back to Antoinette in a moment as well, and Monica. Mr. James, I got to ask you, when you met Ms. Margot, at some point, was there an emotion that led you to want to approach her? Was there an emotion at all? And can you have a commitment to anything without there being an emotion involved? Help me out with this.
I was going on, I wanted a certain type of wife. I was going on, I had been praying for a certain type of wife, and I was going on my faith that God was going to lead me to that. And when I saw her and started talking to her, I slowly saw that God was answering my prayers. So my emotion was my prayer was being answered, and we grew to love each other. It wasn't overnight. I told her from the first time that I met her, I told her, I'm all in. I'm all in because I want to concentrate on you. I can't date you and concentrate on you, and I'm dating four other people. And the first thing I did when I came back from meeting her, came back here, is I called up the people that I was casually dating, and I ended it because I can't process what he's given me and having things on the side. My concentration has always been on one individual.
Okay, Ms. Margo, let me ask you the similar question, and that is, Ms. Margo, I mean, and emotions, and I associate the word emotion with feelings. I mean, didn't you feel something for him, or was it just his good looks? What was it?
Well, it was, yes. So it was, of course, I didn't know him, so it was definitely an immediate attraction. And then we started talking, and we had mutual likes, you know. And then as we're getting to know each other more and more, I mean, sometimes I say, you know, I might not like him. It's not an emotion, you know, when things happen, but we have to continue to date each other. And I think that's what's missing also, is from the time that we meet, or if that's the case of people, or just say us, we grew based on emotion, and whatever transpired, it has to continue. I think for our relationship, not saying for everybody, because like the lady said, people are attracted for, it don't have to be emotion, but my attraction has to be emotion. So I think that how we met, how we started off, is I feel like we need to continue to build on it. We need to continue to date. We need to continue to have that emotion and passion for each other. And that's just speaking on our relationship.
Okay, so let me ask you this question before I go to the phones again. Were you in love with him? I don't want to get you all in trouble, and I don't want anything to, you know, stop.
This is our therapy also.
Okay, so let me ask you. When we talk about emotion that Antoinette talks about, and we're going to give her a chance to speak to that,
okay.
Were you in love with him before you got married?
We did.
You don't have to answer that if you don't want to. You don't have to answer that. Let's go to the phone line.
I believe that I was in love.
You're not sure.
But staying in love as far as current. At that time, being in love. But staying in love, we have to work on keeping that love strong. That's the thing. And that's going to be the thing throughout. As long as you can fall out of love, you can, you know, but the whole point is trying to stay in love, and that's what I want for our relationship and marriage.
Right. Let me go to Jack. Jack, let's bring you in here. And, Jack, I got to ask this question. Then we're going to go to Antoinette and bring her back in. Jack, I got to ask this question. You know, I don't know, maybe I'm from a different planet, but I just kind of feel like I got to be in love with the person before I even consider marrying them, before I could even commit to that marriage or that relationship. I mean, because marriage is, like, supposed to be forever. Jack, I mean, is that possible in your opinion? And remember, we're just giving opinions here.
Yeah, it is supposed to be forever, because you said for better or for worse. But I'm going to be as honest with you as I possibly can. I was a teenager when I got married, and she was too, so we both were young. So we were in love with the idea of being in love, okay? So I grew to love my wife the way that I love her today. I'm going to be honest with you, I didn't love her the way that I love her then like I do now, okay? Because I was in love with the idea of just being in love. okay? And we did a lot of things together. We always wanted to be with each other. 24/7, we wanted to be with each other. So we decided that the best thing for us to do is to hook up. Even though we were in college at the time, we decided to get married. Now, like someone said, you know, 50 years of marriage or whatever, you have your ups and downs and all, but you learn to be committed. You learn to be committed, you know, as time goes by and all. So as I said before, I didn't have the love, the type of love that I have now, that a gappy love, that I had the Aries love, but I didn't have the gappy love like I do now, back then, like I do now. So I just thank God that I have that love and we stayed together for these many, many years to this day.
Okay. Jack, we're going to ask you to stand by. Monica, we're going to bring you in, then Antoinette, we're going to bring you back in. Monica, based on what I'm hearing, it's possible for any single individual, if I'm not mistaken, to not even have the chemistry or compatibility, and you can just, you know, your neighbor that you're not even attracted to. I mean, I don't know that Monica said, I mean, Margo said that she was attracted to her husband, so that was some form of feeling. So, I mean, if we're going to be, you know, thinking about the idea of growing to love each other, I can just see my neighbor that I'm not even attracted to and just say, well, you know what, I just need a companion. Let me just go see if she'll do. Hey, you want to get hooked up? You know, yeah, I was thinking about hooking up. Yeah, we're getting older. So what happens in that case? Monica.
Doctor?
Yes, is that Monica? Go ahead.
Yes. I am in total agreement with you. And the truth is that's why so many marriages have not worked, because the first inception, I mean, you have to love. Love is the foundation of a healthy marriage. And it's, I mean, like you, it's impossible for, I mean, not impossible, but it makes it more difficult. How love is, marriage is supposed, I mean, for better, for worse, but you have to have some good time. And if you're working on, you know, getting, loving each other, that should be the first cue. Love at first sight, I think it goes a far more way than just, you know, being, for any other thing. Lord have mercy.
Yes. Okay, looks like the time may have timed her out. We're going to come back to you. Ms. Antoinette, let's bring you back in so you can speak to us about the emotion that you mentioned. And
I want to preface something. Yes, I want to preface something. That emotion I'm talking about is when someone's already committed. I do believe the Bible makes it very clear, and I think even without a relationship with God, there usually is some type of emotion or attraction to be in a relationship, or some kind of commonality. When I meant about emotion was, once you are in a marriage, your emotions will go up and down and will lead you astray. And I find that if you're committed to the relationship, then regardless of your emotions and different things, like we talked about, different scenarios are going to trigger different emotions. So if you're committed to the relationship, I think that when you are obedient, then your emotions and feelings and healing and forgiveness comes later, and it is with hard work. But I do believe that initially, I mean, in our culture and the way we're raised, I do have to have an attraction and feel love. But again, there's different cultures, so for everyone it's different. There are people that have happy marriages that were arranged. I can't relate to that. But yet, you know, other people from different cultures, and they have grown to truly love. And sometimes that passion and that fire does come later. And I'm telling you that I've heard that from different people. And some people get married, just like you said. I was laughing, Dr. Walker, when people say, you know what, I'm your neighbor, I'm lonely, you're lonely, let's just hook up. I have seen people do that in my own community, because the Jewish culture, that's what they do. Well, if a spouse dies, they just hook up. for companionship, and they grow in love.
That is so interesting. James, let me bring you in. Thank you, Ms. Antoinette, for sharing that with us. Mr. James, I got to bring you in here, and you talk about growing in love. And I heard what Jack said earlier about he was in love with the idea of being in love as a teenage spouse. But then, assuming that he's been married for a number of years, he didn't love her then as he loves her now, which I would imagine the love has matured and they understand love more now. But I can almost understand now with how certain cultures do have arranged marriages. And if that's going to be the case, I mean, that probably wouldn't work for me. But if you're going to arrange a marriage, you know, to put them together, I watched a nice movie on one of those, and they obviously grew in love. So you're saying that I could just get my neighbor who's lonely and I'm lonely, and we're into our feelings for the moment, the emotion, and decide that let's just hook up. Mr. James, you're saying that that could be a likelihood, and I know Antoinette just said that it happens in various cultures.
Let me put it to you something like this. If I moved to California and I lived in California,
right,
I'm going to find somebody that like in California. If I move to Idaho, I'm going to find somebody like in Idaho. So it's wherever you are. Now, I was excited. My first emotion with her was I was excited that God was answering like my prayer. That was my first emotion. And
okay.
That drove me, because I'm like, this is what, you know, God has blessed me with, and I wanted to put everything I had into it. We grew to love each other, which is why she said, I don't want to be away from you. And I'm like, I don't want to be away from you. Let's come under one roof. So the love was there, but my first emotion was I was excited that my prayer was being answered. That was my first emotion. And people do hook up because they're lonely. They're like 40, 50 years old, and they get like, oh, my God, you know, I better hurry up to work, you know, I better hurry up because I don't want to grow. People are afraid of growing old alone. This is why they sometimes do hook up without the love. People are afraid of growing old alone.
Okay. Let me just reiterate, we're almost out of time, you all. We got about 20 minutes before the show starts to come to an end. I've got a number of comments that have come in. I know they want to get to some of these. If you're just kind of joining us or you're catching the tidbits towards the end of this, we're talking about our featured guests are Mrs. and Mrs. James Johnson. They are featured guests, and tonight's topic is why do some marriages last 25-plus years and others don't? And our characters are similar reflections on Will and Jada, but it's Rose and Sam. They met in church some 20-plus years ago, and they grew up to know each other, and because they grew up in the church, the families encouraged and promoted marriage to these young people, even though the chemistry and compatibility was not there. Well, you know, because it wasn't there, Rose was accusing Sam of having an affair with a coworker that he had become close to, that he was always talking about. And that gave her reasonable suspicion anyway. I mean, if a man is talking or a woman is talking about this guy, you know that nobody really wants to hear that. So the fact of the matter is because she assumed that he was having an affair, she went out and started having an affair herself. And because she persisted, even with her affair going on, she persisted that he was having an affair, it drove him into the arms of this other woman. And so he had, you know, what you think about, you bring about, I guess. So he did have an affair with her. And then those were just one affairs that they had. They, throughout their marriage, they had multiple or several affairs. And then one day they decided, you know what, let's just come clean with each other. And then now here we are. They sit down one day, and I guess his conscience was eating him. So Sam says, listen, I want to just tell you by laying the cards out on the table that I've got this 13-year-old son out there, and I just wanted to get it off my chest. And now she says, well, you know what? Of course, that hurts her. And she says, well, since we're being, you know, honest and laying our cards on the table, our second son, who's now 20, may not be your son. So that's where we are. And there's a twist to this story, you all, and I'm going to give you the twist now because they were thinking about divorce, but they realized they had weathered so many storms. But the twist of this story is after now, after over 25 years of marriage, this new information sheds some deep pain on both Rose and Sam to process in managing their frustrations and anger that could lead to divorce. But after careful thought and reflection on their vows, Sam and Rose have decided over time to forgive each other and continue to stay committed to their relationship, which is what Mr. James and Mrs. James are telling us about tonight. Mr. James, how does that make you feel to know that this couple weathered probably some of the deepest storms that any marriage could weather? They decided to stay committed to the relationship, which is what you've been talking about, the foundation, building. And if you reiterate that for us tonight about what you mean about the foundation is there, you know, when those hurricanes come. Ms. Margo, we do have hurricanes in South Florida. Go ahead, Mr. James.
This is what I mean is that, and let me just say this. People have a right, if someone has gone outside the marriage, there's no judgment here. If you've done that or you're going to do it, that's your right. Nobody's saying that you're wrong. So I just want to say that, you know, people have to make decisions on their own. But for me, the foundation is that you took the vows, like the four vows. You said for better, for worse, for richer, for poor, for sickness and health. And you said those vows, and you didn't say it's not geared toward the individual. Those vows are geared toward the situation. It's sickness is a situation. Worth is a situation. Health is a situation. Those vows are geared toward the situation because situations come at a marriage. Hurricanes come at a house. You know, you're going to put the boards up. You're going to throw down, you know, all the sandbags, and you're going to buy the food. Even if the house is taken away, the house has a foundation. There's a reason why a house has a foundation. So you can build if something happens to it. When a marriage has a foundation on things that God was talking about on the vows, whatever happens, hopefully those two people can look further than the individual and look to the foundation and want to build that foundation up again with that individual.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so, you know, Mr. James, are you there, Mr. James?
Yes.
Yes. Can you hear me okay?
Yes, I can.
Okay. You know, I as you're speaking, as you and Ms. Margo, Mrs. James are speaking, we're going to go to phone lines in a moment. We're going to try to get to some of the comments. But I want to say this here because as I listen to you, it's as if there's a like the Holy Spirit is coming in, and that's the most beautiful thing that I've ever heard about marriage. And I would venture to say, I mean, what you're talking about, the foundation, you know, coming up, when you got that foundation and the storms may come, and if there's some damage, as long as you have the foundation, you can rebuild on that. With what you presented on this program, you and Ms. Margo, is probably the best analogy I've ever heard when it comes to the foundation of marriage. And as such, I would like to be able to adopt that. Whenever I do any premarital counseling from here on out, whenever I do a marital ceremony, I'm going to use that because that is the most wonderful message that I have ever heard in my years of living when it comes to a marriage, what you all are presenting tonight. And we're going to ask you to stand by because I'm getting teary over here because that's some deep stuff. Let's go to West Palm Beach, 561-777. Thank you for your patience. Wow. Who do we have with us?
Hi, this is Marlene.
Marlene, thank you for joining us. Marlene, what are your thoughts? I mean,
my thoughts are, I'm not really understanding how you can be committed to a relationship without being committed to a person. How do you separate them? I'm not getting that. And then to me, because if you want to say Will and Jada, because they're saying they're committed to the relationship, it's like it's okay, I'm committed to the relationship. I'm going to go here and do whatever I feel like doing, but I'm committed to the relationship. I'm going to be in this relationship while I'm doing whatever I feel like doing, still committed to the relationship. So to me, if you're committed to the person, you care about how that person feels. You care about not hurting that person. You care about, okay, if you make a mistake and you talk about it, fine, you work on it, you move on. I care about you, and by the grace of God, I'm not going to do this again because I care about the person. I'm committed to the person. But if I'm committed to the relationship, I don't care. I can do whatever I want. I'm still committed to the relationship. I'm not leaving. I'm not going anywhere. I'm committed to this relationship.
Okay. So we're going to ask you, Marlene, we're going to ask you about Ms. Margo. Give us your thoughts on that. And then, Mr. James, if you'll come in and give us your thoughts on that. We're going to ask you all to be a little brief because we're running out of time.
So can I go first?
Go ahead.
So can I go first? Because
yes.
Because I think she's missing the point like a little bit. Of course you're going to be committed to the other individual. And the story is an extreme situation. But here's the thing. When you're when you put more on the individual, you have to know in a marriage that person's going to let you down. So I've let her down. I haven't said the right things. I haven't done the right things. There are times when she hasn't been like, well, you know, don't touch me right now. But and so you can't just walk out. So the point is, you can't walk out the door when things get worse. You know, this is an extreme situation. You know, all marriages don't go through where somebody's found out that the son like is not yours. But the whole point is that know that people are sometimes that your spouse is gonna let you down. You can't walk out the door. Stay committed to the relationship. That's the point.
Okay. Ms. Margo,
yes.
Your thoughts.
Piggyback on my husband, what he was saying, and she did make a great point. You're right. You feel like they're, you know, you want to be committed to the person, love the person. But as I was saying in the beginning, and I was coming back to what my husband was trying to say is, or saying, it's like you have a pot. You know, the relationship is the pot. And, of course, the love is going to go in the pot. The, you know, finance is going to go in the business, is going to go in the pot. Everything is going to go into that foundation. And sometimes it is hard to just walk away and leave because of the love is there, the children is there, the finances, the bills, everything is inside that, within that relationship or that foundation. So you definitely have to have the love. You definitely have to have the commitment. But everything else is building up on that foundation of the relationship, of the covenant, of the marriage, the agreement that you made.
Okay. All right. Wow, this is powerful tonight. We're gonna go ahead and take some of the comments. Ms. Cross, we're going to give you the first comment, and we'll try to get to five of them if we can. We've got about 10 minutes, you all. So let's go with the first one. Ms. Cross, thanks for your patience as well. This male writes in, he says, why do some marriages last 25-plus years and others don't? I believe some marriages last longer because people reach the point of just tolerating each other. Ms. Cross, I mean, that sounds like, okay, I'm just going to tolerate you. Ms. Cross, what do you think?
You know, I think that it's partly true. Yes, there are people married for 50 years who have learned to love each other, but, you know, I think after you start investing so much into so much time, energy, finances, you know, some people really are just tolerating each other. But I do want to say, because I love, you know, Dr. Watkins, so it's funny when you were saying that the analogy that was used was one of the best you've ever heard, because I swear that's what was coming in my mind, like the whole idea of having a, and I know you said it partly as well, having a house, having a beach house, knowing that there's a possibility of a hurricane coming and still stepping out on faith
to having that house and having the understanding that forbidding if something happens to my house, I'm willing to rebuild. Because I feel that, yes, love is an emotion, but emotions can lead you left or right. It definitely has to be an action. There has to be more than just I love you behind it. There has to be, you know, I feel like we go through all these different situations and we make these sacrifices to kind of test the love, not intentionally, but, you know, love, anything worth having, you have to kind of, you know, it's going to be an uncomfortableness sometimes with that growth. So I definitely think that, you know, yes, it's an emotion, but emotions are very fickle sometimes. So it definitely has to have that strength of the action behind it.
You know, and Ms. Cross, and I agree with you. And, I mean, it's like this has touched me tonight, this topic, with the way Mr. James presented it and knowing that they're on one accord with this. Because, and I'm thinking, Mr. James, I want to say this here, you know, publicly here. I believe that if you had presented something like this here from probably a pulpit or somewhere, even here on the air, I believe a lot of marriages would have been saved. I believe that a lot of marriages would have been saved because it's not just about the feeling. It's not just about feeling. And I don't want to, you know, as a matter of fact, we're running out of time. Mr. and Mrs. James, can we have you all again for a part two on this?
Yes, absolutely.
Yes.
Yeah, because I mean, I just word needs to get out, and I mean, because this is, I'm almost speechless here because this is this can actually save marriages. The way you put that analogy about that foundation on the beach and the storms coming, and it's so real because here in Florida, Ms. Margo, we got some serious stuff come through here, so I can relate to what he's. You know, so not to scare you back to the Windy City, but I just want you to know that. Let's take a few more comments. Antoinette, let's bring you back in. Comment number two. Oh, we've got about 8 minutes, and they're starting to threaten me over here. This female writes in. She says, I think people have been married that long have reached an agape love or unconditional love. Ms. Antoinette, how true is that, agape or unconditional love? Aren't they one and the same?
Yes, agape love is the love of God. When you have the love of God in your heart, you love unconditionally. I think in our own self and our own flesh and emotions, we have conditions and we put expectations on people. And like you said, people will fail us. And so if you go in with the mindset that you're in for the long haul, and I know it's true, think about it. If you're in a relationship that you know somebody failed you and you have no commitment to the relationship, you're just going to walk, give them walking papers and walk. But when you know that it's a long-term commitment, you learn to work things out and you learn to forgive easily because the commitment is there. And, you know, you're either going to be married and happy or you're going to be married and miserable because marriage is a covenant that was never intended to be broken. And, again, the feelings go up and down, and they will deceive us. So if you're committed to the person, and agape love is that genuine love that we are trying to achieve, which is unconditional.
Amen.
The way God loves us, and that's how we should love each other.
Monica, let's bring you in for the third comment. We're trying to get to at least one, two, three. We're going to try to get to at least four more real quickly here. This male, he says, why do some marriages last longer? I want to think that some marriages last longer because the people really care about each other to make it work no matter what. They're committed to the relationship, as the James have said. Monica, what do you think? They're committed no matter what. No matter what. That's deep.
I truly love that because there's a favorite scripture of mine that says, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. And it's just like the caller just said, if you are committed to something, if you know there is commitment, you're going to work as hard as you need to for this thing to thrive and this relationship to last and to just grow from strength to strength and forever do they part.
You know, and as I think about this, Mr. James, you really touched me here tonight. And I mean, because as I think about the storms, sometimes a storm, you know, becomes a hurricane. It might be a hurricane three, but as it travels up the coast, it comes over land, so it loses some of its strength. But you know what? It gets stronger when it goes over water, which means now with relationships, once they can, you know, they begin to realize that they've weathered certain storms, they become stronger. Oh, I can't wait to hear you all on the air again. I gotta keep moving because they're threatening me over here. Let's go to Marlene. Marlene, let's bring you in and this comment here. This male, he writes in, he says, some marriages don't really last because both parties always want to be in charge, and no one wants to give and take. Each are willing to play the other's role. Marlene, what do you think about that? I mean, it's like everybody wants to be in charge. You got two heads.
Well, I don't really see that working. The husband is the head of the home, so
okay.
He should be the head of the home. He's the priest. He's supposed
okay.
to lead his home as Christ leads him.
All right.
Amen.
Margo, let's bring you in. Ms. Margo, are there times when you're, and don't incriminate yourself. We don't want you all starting anything. Pass
okay.
on it by all
okay.
means. But it's going to leave an assumption in our mind, okay? But, so the question is, are there times when you don't feel like listening to your husband? And how do you manage that?
There's many times. But I have to
okay.
humble myself and know that, like the lady did say, and the Bible says that the husband is the head as Christ is the head of him. And I do give, you know, when he asks for my input, or we work as a team. I think it's a team. It's not necessarily, people think of submission. I do submit to my husband, but it's more of a respect or reverence. You know, he does come to me with things. I go to him with things, and it's a team. We have to work together, but hopefully we become an agreement on it, and he finalizes the decision based on our discussion with it. And that's the thing. As long as there's no, I mean, it can be a battle, but our marriage is not. As far as, you know, no one ego trips or anything like that, because again, we do try to keep God and the Word, Holy Word, in the midst of things, and we do try to humble ourselves and come to a compromise on things. We do.
All right, on that. Okay, we've got about 3 minutes, actually 2 minutes, and so let's go, Mr. James. This comment here, he says, where she says. Well, I have seen firsthand why my marriage did not work, and that is because my husband, this female writes in, she says, my husband still wanted to play the field. He cheated on me several times until I got to the point that I decided enough is enough. So, Mr. James, are you saying that maybe she could have just weathered the storm and allowed the marriage to mature to a different level, and she might think differently?
No. It takes two people. You know, nobody can be committed to the foundation and the other person not be committed. It has to be a conversation. And that's what
okay.
we can.
Okay.
For the new people who are thinking about, like, getting married, that they have to think more, okay, I love this person, but this vow is serious. When you take a vow, it's serious, and you have to say that you're both going to be in it. If one person is out there doing stuff, she had every right, like, to leave, especially if there was no change, if his commitment was not to the foundation. You know, in this scenario, you know, the house has to have everything to weather, like, the storm. It's got to have like shutters. It's got to have boards. It's got to have food. It's got to have batteries. The house has to have everything. If there's one thing missing from the house being protected, the house is going to go away. It takes two people. It takes two people. So, no, I mean, and like I said, this is an individual thing. Everybody has to make their own choice. But I was just thinking about this. I want to be like the person on top of the house, and they told me to leave 1,000 times, and the flood water has come up so much that a helicopter has to come get me out of this marriage.
Wow. That is so deep. That is so, so deep. Yes. Oh, my goodness. Mr. James, you mind if we give Ms. Margo the last comment here? And then Ms. Cross, you'll close us out.
Go ahead.
Oh, okay. I'm here.
Okay, Ms. Margo, the last comment that comes in, I know a lot of times the women like, so she says, I don't have the answers to other people's failed marriages, but I can tell you why my marriage did not work. My husband insisted on trying to control everything I did. It's as if I did not have a mind of my own. I think marriage is about being an equal, not as a dictatorship. Your thoughts on that, and then we'll let Ms. Cross close us out.
That is true. That is true. Again, it should not be a dictatorship, definitely. Marriage, of course, we want to go walk, well, whoever walks in the Holy Word, they want to, you know, make sure they walk circumspectly according to God. But people take that submission, you know, men also take a woman being submissive as being a dictator or controlling, and it's not the case. The husband should love their wives as Christ loves them, loves him, and respect, as well as the woman supposed to respect and submit to the husband. It's not supposed to be a dictatorship in the marriage or control. And that is for people, for couples that are looking towards getting married, before you get married, you do have to make sure that there is no me. You know, it has to be you're becoming one. You're becoming flesh. So you do still need to, you have to help me. Your wife is supposed to get help me. And we need each other. So it's not, one should not be dictating over the other. So that is not, it's not of God. I don't think it's not, it's of God, because he says to be as one flesh. You need to help me. God may help me, because man, he did not feel like man could be or live alone. And they can't. I know that.
Yes, I agree with you. Ms. Margo, we appreciate that. Mr. James, we certainly, you and Mrs. James, we appreciate you all being our featured guests this evening. We certainly look forward to you all coming back. I've got to give the final word now to my co-host, Ms. Cross. Close us out. Why do you think some couples last longer? And I can see now it makes sense. Ms. Cross.
Well, I think that definitely couples last longer, just based on, as several of the callers were saying, especially our amazing couple that's on here, and it's about their commitment. It's about making that choice to stay together. You know, I know Mr. James had this amazing analogy that even if there's a whole flood that's like encompassing, over engulfing the house, they have to have a helicopter come down and get him. You know, that is a hell of a commitment. So I think that it really does, yes, it really does boil down to, you know, how far are you going to go? You know, some people, you rub them wrong and they're out, you know, and some of the callers were saying marriages, you know, unfortunately aren't lasting 50 years anymore because people aren't willing to make that commitment. You know, we definitely know it's a choice. We have an abundance of options. But when you go into a situation, you have to know, you know, what are you willing to tolerate? You know, analyze the situation that you're in. Analyze, you know, the person you're with. I know it sounds very, I don't know. But I think you should definitely, before you make that, you know, say that I do, I think you definitely need to kind of sit back and have an understanding as to what you're getting into before you even say I do.
All right, excellent. On that note, we are clearly out of time. Mr. and Mrs. James, I clearly believe that you all have a ministry that God has called you all to come together, and I believe that part of your calling is to share your thoughts on this very topic with so many other people like you've done on the show tonight. And we certainly look forward to you all coming back again. Listen, we're clearly out of time. I want you all to join us back here tomorrow night for your half-hour inspirational program, which has been extended now to 1 hour. The topic tomorrow will be, when it comes to the Bible, do people make up their own scriptures? You don't want to miss that show tomorrow night. When it comes to the Bible, do people make up their own scriptures? You know, of course, if you choose to bypass tomorrow night's broadcast, join us back here live next Thursday when we've got another heavy topic that you don't want to miss. So until tomorrow night or until next Friday, I say to my listening audience around the world, good night, God bless, and thank you, God. Good night, everybody.
Good night.
Good night, everyone.
Good night, everyone. God bless you.
God bless you guys.